Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, and with us co-hosting this week is Evangelist Hope Brogdon. We continue to talk about leadership. We've had some great conversations thus far, and I am excited about what's going to come forth on today. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come and share again concerning leadership, leading God's people, leading the way that God would intend, which also encompasses those who are being led to follow the instruction. Father, we ask today that the seeds that we plant would be planted into good soil, God, that hearts would be receptive to hear, to receive, and to implement these keys to aid them in being better leaders and better followers, which will in turn make them better leaders. We ask for the anointing now, that easy, that every yoke be destroyed now. We thank you for it, and we count it done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So leading people's God's way. There's several books that I've been reading regarding leadership. It's called Leading God's People Baggage Free. And it says leading God's people requires intimacy with the Father, humility, and a life not ruled by pride. It requires that you lay down what you think and pick up what God is requiring to meet the needs of his people, so that his kingdom may be expanded, whole, healed, and without blemish. Also says, as a leader of God's people, you cannot be moved by outward circumstances, gossip, rumors, fear, or anything that is at war with God's purpose and plan. You must have wisdom, knowledge, compassion, understanding, and the boldness to move in the direction God is leading you in to guide his people. The problem is, if you are weighed down with excess baggage, you will not be able to lead effectively. I'm going to read that to you again. Somebody needs to hear that. The problem is, if you are weighed down with excess baggage, you will not be able to lead effectively. You will be unable to soar because your baggage will keep you grounded. It is like the time, this writer says, when I was on a plane and we were taxiing down the runway to take off when suddenly the pilot pulled over, stopped the plane. He announced, "We are unable to take off because your baggage is too heavy. So we are grounded until we can make the necessary adjustments. Baggage can be old wounds, rejection, pride, man's tradition, or fear. It's simply anything that hinders you from effective leading." And this comes from a book written by Pamela Smith. The baggage. She listed a few things: old wounds, rejection, pride, man's tradition, or fear as some baggage. But what we're also finding as we look at this topic of leadership is individuals who lead or are being led who have the wrong definition of self-regard. Their definition of self-regard is that I'm going to regard myself higher than I'm going to regard my leader. That's okay. Their definition. They put self first. They don't understand the necessity of having self-respect, and self-respect being different than self-regard. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures today, talk about how when we have baggage, when we have improper loads cast upon us in the role of a leader, how it not only affects the leader, but how it will ultimately affect those that you're leading. Um, Yeah, we've got to get to a place where we understand and are able to achieve positive self-regard. So, Evangelist, what scripture? What is the God saying in the Word concerning this?
Okay, it's several places, but let's just go back. Let's just start off with a leader. First mm-hmm. Peter chapter 5. Let's start with. I'll just start with the first one, chapter 5. Mm-hmm. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the mm-hmm. chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Okay, leaders are here to feed, protect, and guide. They've been given a flock to attend to by God. Let's get it straight. You don't have a flock, or you don't have a group to minister to for yourself. They're not yours for yourself. You know, they're not your, mm-hmm. your personal chauffeurs and your clothing assistants and everything else. It is a leader's job to feed, protect, and guide. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that's what God is telling us. This is what they do. I have set them in this position, and you are to submit. The only thing you're supposed to resist is the enemy, is the devil.
Right.
You submit to God. You submit to your leadership. You resist the enemy. So people need to get that straight first. First, as a leader, that it's not about you. And then, people need to function. They need to learn how to submit, you're part of a team.
Right.
And the Lord said there's a lot of eyes going around.
mm-hmm.
We go back to that I feel, I want, and I'm going to do. Because I want that.
Sure.
So a lot of that I spirit is coming out. So we need to check ourselves. As a leader, are we functioning in our leadership position? And then as part of the team, are we entrusting ourselves to a leader? You know, I reflected back on prior leadership that I had been under, and it is sad, because we do know it happens, how you trust, you come in broken.
mm-hmm.
And this is why it's important for us to have a personal relationship with God, to stay in the Word, and to hear mm-hmm. His voice and not rely on man. Because there's going to come a time that you can sit here and see whether or not your leadership is in order or if they're not. Now, I didn't say, don't get your feelings hurt when God has your leader rebuke you for something that you've done. Because Pastor Burrell, you are my pastor, and I know very well you call me out on stuff, but I don't leave the ministry. I see it as God is trying to help me.
mm-hmm.
He's trying to help me. So we need to recognize our leadership. So I've seen in leadership where I saw where it went from serving God and doing God's will to serving themselves.
Yeah.
And that hurts. Because that is happening a lot. Of course, as we know, it always has been. I mean, there's nothing new today. But that is hindering, quote unquote, the church from accomplishing what God wants us to do.
Right.
So, yes, it is important for us to observe that and to know when to, I guess, in my case, I had to leave. I had to leave when God told me to, because there was a purpose in it. But the thing is, we have to recognize when something is, unhealthy, or if we're not growing. You know, I can't be part of a team where it's all about how much renovation we do to a building, and everybody in the church is still jacked up. Nobody is gaining any wisdom. That's not what God wants,
right?
That's not what He wants. So, so we have to recognize good leadership, and we when we're under great leadership, and we know that they have been appointed to us by God, we have to submit, and we have to be respectful.
Well, that's an important key, Hope, in that you have to know where God has placed you or is placing you. As you say this, there are times when all of us have been involved in ministries, we've been involved in jobs, we've been, we launched out with an entrepreneurial endeavor because somebody presented the plan and it sounded really good, or because
right.
the choir was the banging choir, or, you know, the pastor was the most affluent in the area, or whatever the case may be, we find ourselves being drawn for self-seeking purposes, but not necessarily to fulfill what it is that God is requiring of us at any given moment. And
right.
so you said it. Like, you have to know where you're assigned. It's not good to just go and join a church if you can't be, if you're not willing to submit to what the leadership is stating.
Right.
It's good to be in a pretty building, but if your leader does not have the ability to speak into your life so that your growth in God and the expansion of the kingdom cannot be seen and fulfilled through what you're doing, then why are you there? I'm just asking
right.
the question. Why are you there? Because I want to be in a place, and I strive daily to be in a place where I understand as a leader that I have to set an example. I can't live my life all willy-nilly, you know, doing everything under the sun that Valerie wants to do, and then come back and tell a people, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. When I'm doing all of it, I can't
right.
do that as a leader. And
right.
you should not be under a leadership that lives that kind of way without any remorse, but then wants to, like you said, I want to lord over you. I want to make sure you're dotting I's and crossing T's, but I can do whatever I want to because I'm the leader.
Oh, there
you
go.
That's not how it goes.
That's correct.
That's not how it goes. And so, you know, when we look at this, when we look at the fact that the responsibility of the leader is to nurture, we're to nurture. We're to build skill sets. We're to help instill a degree of discipline that when your leader is not around, you have the capacity within you, without a shadow of a doubt, to fulfill whatever the requirement is that God is speaking without falling back to flesh.
Yeah.
That's what your leader should look like. And even with that scripture, like, there's an assist. There is purpose. There's purpose. There's purpose when the word speaks about the elders that are around you. I know a lot of people say, well, elders, old people. No, an elder is not just necessarily an old person. An elder is someone who has matured in the things of God to the point that he can be trusted to instill into others.
Right.
And so when you have someone around you who has wisdom and knowledge and understanding better than you do, it's not going to hurt you to listen.
Correct.
It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you to listen. It's not going to hurt you. That we talked about it last night, that Hebrews 13:17. It says, give ear to those who are rulers over you, ready to give an account of them. Let them be able to do this with joy and not with grief, because that would be of no profit to you.
Amen.
What sense does it make to be under a leader and all you want to do is give them strife? If
oh,
all you want to do is buck against
goodness.
Everything they say. If your intent is to be a thief in the night, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? Why are you even associated? If it's not, if your intent is not to be able to give joy to your leader, to make, it's like with our children. We take leadership home because it starts there. I mean, with a lot of things that are going on in society, we see the necessity for leadership to raise up in the household so that some things will just sort of, anyway, so yeah.
Right,
raising up our children, when we're raising our children, the word tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he's older, he won't depart from it. So it's our responsibility as parents, as leaders of our home, to instill in our children a sense of self-worth, integrity. You know, they have to know that their word means something. And if they give their word, they have to stand on their word. We train up our children not to be liars, you know, most of us. And then there's some of us that want our children to lie. You know, tell them I'm not home. Tell them I'm not home. Stop telling kids to lie.
Girl, close that blind. Come on, we're not here. Don't answer that.
Yeah, come on, we're not here. Be quiet. Wait, then they'll leave. You know. God help us today. That's not what we want. We want, as we're training up our children and raising them up, we want them to grow with purpose. We want them to have a vision. We want them to go forth in life without limits. We don't want them to be stifled. And we'll fight that if somebody mess with our kids and tell our kids they can't be what they want to be or this, that, or the other, as a parent, we'll go to the school and we'll fight. We'll go to the community center and we'll fight. We'll go to the Y. We'll meet you on the street and we're going to have some words for you because you don't do that to my child.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with leadership. If I'm leading you, I want to place in you everything to make you the greatest you can be. And if somebody messed with you, guess what? I'm going to show up on the scene on your behalf. I had a leader like that. There was some conversation going on in a meeting, and she heard about it. And she was like, that's all right, because I'm going to take care of this baby. I'm going to go. And I was like, no. But she went and she stood, and she was like, no, this is my member, and you are not going to do that, and you are not going to say, and you are wrong. And I'm taking it. And I was like, my God. All right then. But she did that because the relationship she had with me as my leader was important to her. Me being there was important to her. And so she was showing me just how important it was by standing up for me. When you're leading people and they're not giving you grief and they're making leadership a joy and not a task, guess what? That leader will show up on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And will speak well of you, even in your stuff, because they understand why you all are together the way that you are. They realize that it's not a situation where I just want from you, so I'm going to stay connected to you. No, this is a reciprocated relationship. And you say, well, how do I reciprocate with my leader?
Yeah.
How do I reciprocate with my leader without it looking twisted or feeling twisted? How do I even do that? It's called honor.
What'd you say? Honor. Oh, okay.
Honor. 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 How hard is it to honor?
Yeah.
We have a problem with that anymore. Because everybody says, you know, this word says, give ear to those who have rules over you. Well, now people are saying, I got my own ears. Well, I got to give ear to them?
Oh, stop right there. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is where we bring in this. Numbers 12, because you say, I can hear God. That when you said that was prompted. Numbers 12, and I'm going to read all of 1 through 16. Let's set it up with the word.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful. That's you. Okay. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. Oh, my. Even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, lowercase l, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazareth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Now, you're talking about Miriam was a prophetess and Aaron a priest. And they go sit here and say, well, does God only speak through Moses? Hey, here we go about that I spirit. Well, what about us? So it started off, they were called, they were like, okay, so they spoke against Moses. It said they spoke against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman, but then it came out with the real thing, what the real issue was. Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? So now he become, it's really not about who he married.
Mm-mm.
It's really about how God was using Moses. Well, wait a minute, he used us too. Oh, my. Oh, my. And God was like, really? Okay, yeah. Well, let me tell you about Moses. You don't even recognize his relationship he has with me because I speak to him face to face. I ain't got to come to him in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
We speak face to face.
Face to face.
So here it is. God called them all out, leader and the followers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And said, okay, you know what? Well, this is what I'm going to do. You go. This is your judgment. This is your punishment. And when it's over with, she got a time out. And then you can come back. In other words, you go get a time out and get yourself together. And look how everybody saw it. The camp recognized it. They were like, okay, we go wait. She's got to go out. I mean, because she was part of the ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. to the part of the phone.
So people need to be careful.
And look at,
be careful of what
you
put your mouth on.
You have to be careful of your acts and your intentions, because even with this, she had the time out for 7 days, but until she got herself straight, they couldn't move forward.
They couldn't do nothing.
They couldn't move forward. So consider this.
Because of your eye, you were holding back the flow.
You were stifling the expansion of the kingdom of God because of your arrogance, because of your intent, because of your self-righteousness. You, it was your plan to hinder. And God was like, okay, I'm going to give you some time to get yourself together, and then I'm going to let you come back.
Yeah.
But when you come back, don't come back with that same foolishness. For real, don't do that.
That's right. Yeah.
Don't come back with that. Because, look, we can look at ourselves and the relationships that we've been in with our leaders and the times that we know we were out of place. We know we were out of character. We know we had put our mouth on something we shouldn't have put our mouth on. We know we had done some stuff we shouldn't have done. But we didn't realize the impact that it was having on the ministry. We didn't realize the impact it was having on the organization because I wanted to act a fool.
Yeah.
But here in this passage of scripture, you see clearly, because of the act and what was spoken by this one, stuff got held up. Now we say that, God knows all and he's in all. And he understood the purpose behind that. And I'm sure that even in that having to pause, there were some lessons learned by those who were observing.
And also note that, he called all three of them out. Now, Miriam was the one that leprosy was placed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, it's kind of like when you when your brother or sister act up and you tag along with them. And then you realize, whoa, wait a minute, when they receive the punishment,
you know what I'm saying?
We have to be careful. Yes, we have to be careful when someone rises up against our leaders and be careful not to fall into their foolishness. That was a lesson for Aaron, He didn't get kicked out 7 days, but he got called out right along with it. Well, okay.
Guilt by association. So you got to be careful who you associate with, because
how they act,
you will be stated as, that's how they all are.
They must all
be like that.
Right.
So you got to be mindful. You got to be careful.
And the leader,
you call the leader?
Moses. And Moses interceded and prayed for her. As a leader
would do,
stood up for her, regardless how foul she was out of her mouth. He went to God.
Absolutely will.
Yeah.
Wow,
that
went fast. Amen. Amen. That was good. That was good.
Well, thank you, Jesus.
That was good. Wow, leadership God's way. We're going to be continuing this for the entire month. Wow. We want to shout out, the Empowerment Place wants to shout out the Eye Gallery Optical, located at 5219 Laburnum Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. They're an optical service. They do same-day service for most prescriptions. They have top frames and designer sunglasses, competitive pricing, and offering two-pair pricing. That's, again, the Eye Gallery Optical, Laburnum Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. Phone number for them, 804-226-EYES-3937, 804-226-3937. If you need some glasses, check them out. Let them know the Empowerment Place sent you. Amen?
Wow.
Amen. Well, God, thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this time together with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity in which you presented it. Now, God, we send this word forth to do what you plan to do with it, and we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. As always,
Amen.
We encourage you to be empowered. After you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. We love you, and God bless you. Until next time.